Hello and welcome again for another Morning Manna. For those of you just joining, I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Bible these Thursday mornings or whenever you're listening, and to get some encouragement, a little bit of a devotion out of these. Last week, we looked at Luke chapter 6, and while we're not necessarily going through Luke chapter by chapter, I thought since we were in the neighborhood that we would back up just a little bit and take a look in chapter 5, verses 29 through 39, and this interaction with Jesus and the Pharisees. This was right after Jesus called Levi, Matthew, to follow him, and he did. He left his tax collection business and started following Jesus. And the first thing that he did after this was he invited Jesus back to his house along with some other tax collectors, and they threw a party. And this is where we'll pick up our story in Luke 5:30. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Then he spoke a parable to them. "No one puts on a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunken the old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better." And so what we have here is the Pharisees are up to their old tricks again, right? This is their bag, right? It's the only trick in their book, really, which is judging Jesus and his disciples. And so the Pharisees' view of holiness and worshiping God allowed no room for what they saw Jesus and his disciples doing. We got into that last week when we saw the encounter over the Sabbath, and we saw how much work Jesus did on the Sabbath, and we saw that was for a reason. And so the Pharisees' practice of religion was rigid, and it was a religion that focused on forms and rituals and these extra rules that revealed a heart that was of self-exaltation. And so the posture of their heart was one of pride, and they valued ceremony and self-importance. And so what they didn't bring with them into their religiosity was an understanding that what they were practicing was actually meant to bring them into a new covenant. And we see that in Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. And it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." And so this is what they were missing. When Jesus, in this parable here of the garment and the wineskin and the new wine, is his attempt to put a word picture in response to this question of why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the Pharisees, right? Which is interesting because they really didn't have a lot of regard for John either. So they were as judgmental of John as they were of Jesus. So it's interesting that they're kind of making a point here. But we see that in Matthew 11, 18 through 29, and we'll just go 18 and 19. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And so they were holding, you know, John in contempt, and they were holding Jesus in contempt of the way they thought religion should be practiced. And so for them here in Luke to kind of put John on their side because him and his disciples fasted often, it's just interesting the tactics that people will use when they're trying to cast judgment on somebody else. So what they were saying was, essentially, unless you performed your religious rituals exactly as they prescribed, then you were subject to judgment, their judgment, because you didn't live up to the standards that they set. And so so that aside, right, this whole idea of them using John and his disciples to get on their side against Jesus is hilarious. But set that aside, this parable about the new and old fabric and the wineskin and the wine, the biggest reason that the old and new are incompatible, this is what Jesus is saying, is it isn't the old covenant, but it's their way of religion. That's the old in this parable. And the new way that Jesus has brought, the way of grace, the way of Jesus fulfilling the law and the prophets, right? That's the new. And those two are incompatible. You can't strive to keep the law and receive God's grace at the same time. Those two are incompatible. And so the old was meant to lead us into the new, namely Jesus. And so as he himself revealed that he came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So Jesus fulfilled our Jeremiah 31 prophecy, right? So this new covenant came in Jesus, right? That covenant was initiated and it was fulfilled and it's maintained by Jesus. And so worshiping God through keeping a long list of extra biblical rules or animal sacrifices or temple work, that's offensive to Jesus now that he has come. And so it actually, in wanting to go back to those and actually maintain those, it reveals a posture of heart that rejects Jesus as God. And so it rejects his finished work on the cross. And so this is what Jesus was trying to get at, is the incompatibility of their old way of worshiping and entering into a relationship with God and the new that was fulfilled in him. And so God fulfilled his prophecy in Jesus. And that's what made a way through himself for us to be his people. And so this is really at the heart here of Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah 33 or 31:33. This is the heart of this prophecy is what God's heart is. It says, "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God wants us to regard him as our God. He wants us to be our people. He wants this sort of communion to take place. And so as he's fulfilling that through and in Jesus, he's making a way for us to be his people. And so that doesn't involve rule following or rituals or some kind of conjured up piety. It involves acknowledging the truth that Jesus is Lord. And so let that be our challenge as we go throughout our week, right? That we know that Jesus has fulfilled the law, and that as we become tempted to perform, and we will, we'll become tempted to perform, like I didn't pray enough this week, or I didn't read my Bible enough this week, or, you know, all of those things that go through our minds. When we become tempted to think that way, you know, we need to be aware that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we need to be directed back to Jesus, right? We just need to knock that off, right? Repent of that kind of thinking, that we need to work and that we haven't done enough. But no, Jesus has done it all, right? And so let's rest in the finished work of Jesus. And so have a great week.